Welcome to Legal Talk. I'm John Mitchell, and today we're uncovering the legal insights and strategies that help you protect what matters most. You're watching Now Media Television.
Well, hello there, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us on Legal Talk. My name is John Mitchell. I am the host of your show. Man, oh man, we got, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. I'm not going to lie. Been out sick a little bit, but we're going to be back with full force and ready to rock and roll, ready to bring everybody some really good information out there so we can, make it worth your while, right? You took your time to tune in and watch us either on air or whatever the case may be. And now, we're going to bring you some good information, make it worth your while, make sure that it was worth it for you to tune in and check us out today. Now, as you all know, I am an attorney here in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas. And I specialize in tax, right? So that's mostly what you're going to get with me. You tune in the big show, you're going to get a lot of, a lot of stuff about taxes, right? And one of the things that has been making the rounds lately on social media, and this is not by any means a done deal, right? This is not a sure thing. It's not, I can't tell you that this is going to come about anytime soon in a particular timeline. But it's one of the things that's been kicked around for years and years now. And, maybe one of these days, the politicians will go ahead and get off their rear ends and get something done about it, right? And one of the things that has been talked about is what we would call either the flat tax or the fair tax. It's 6 of 1, 6 of 1, 6 of 1 of the other. But basically what the fair tax is, if you see this, and again, the big thing, the big caveat, the thing to keep in mind, right? The thing to remember is this is not a done deal. Once, if the law were to get presented to Congress and pass and the president sign it, believe you me, it's going to be wall-to-wall coverage because it's going to be a gigantic, big change. The last big change that we had in the United States in the tax system was back in 1986. And before 1986, the big change in the tax system was 1954. So this doesn't happen, too often. And, if you do that math and add it up, maybe you can, a lot of people might say, maybe we're overdue, right? Maybe it's past time to make some kind of big changes in the United States tax system. So right now, one of the things we've got, one of the big money makers in tax, right? Like one of the big ways that that money comes into the federal government coffers is through payroll taxes. And when we talk about payroll taxes, we can talk about federal tax, we talk about Social Security, and we talk about Medicare. Now, Social Security and Medicare right now, as we are right now today, right? You go to work, and I just gave this example to a youngster a couple of days ago, right? And I like nice, big, round, easy numbers, right? So let's say you make $10 an hour at your job, you work 40 hours a week, you've made $400. That's your gross, right? Now, when we talk about Medicare and Social Security tax, those two together, they call it FICA, right? And so your FICA taxes is actually 6.2 plus 1.45, right? So 7.5, right? Like I said, this is why I like big round numbers, right? So that is a little over 7.65, I think it is, right? So 7.65 you pay, but then in the background, a lot of people don't know this, but it's true. In the background, your employer, whoever you work for, your boss, is paying another 7.65. So that's 15.3% out of every dollar that you made in earnings, right? So if you have have earnings, let's say for the week, go back to our example, right? $400 a week, $400 you made, 10 bucks an hour, 40 hours, boom, $400, you know, 15.3% of that, 400. So out of every $100 is $15.30. So 15 and 15, 30, 60, a little over $61 is going to go to Social Security taxes. And then you got your federal income tax. Now your federal is a lot more complicated to calculate. The FICA is a fixed percentage. And so every time you make money off the top, the government gets their cut, right? You got a silent partner. They made you, shall we say, an offer that you can't refuse. And you literally can't refuse it because there's a jail cell waiting for you, right? If we were to go to a sale, like a national sales tax, like a fair tax type of thing, let's say what it would be when you work and make that $400, 10 bucks an hour times 40 hours, you're going to get that entire amount of money, right? You've worked 40 hours, your boss is going to give you your check and no deductions out of it. And that sounds great, right? Now, on the flip side of that is, goods and services are going to be more expensive because there's going to be, let's say, a 23, 25, whatever it is, percent tax on everything that you buy. So, you know, you buy an iPhone, right? Like this iPhone that I have here, except it's going to be a new one. This one's not new, but in this example, you buy yourself a new iPhone, right? And I don't even know what it costs anymore, iPhones. Let's say $1,000, right? Again, big, round, easy number. So we take the $1,000 of the iPhone and add, you know, it would be all inclusive. So the $1,000 would be including a $250 tax, 25%, right? So instead of paying taxes when you make money, you're going to pay the taxes when you actually spend money. And that's, you know, so, but everything, here's what I also want to get across to you. The number one big thing to get across about the fair tax, because I know it's all over social media right now, but one of the big things to remember, the number one big thing to remember, it's not a done deal, right? The law has not been passed by Congress. It hasn't been signed by the president. So this is not a sure thing yet. But if it were to come about, you know, anytime you make big changes in tax policy like this, you get winners and losers, right? There's going to be people that are going to be better off and people that are going to kind of break even, and other folks that are going to be not as well off under the new system versus the old, right? And so when you know, one of the advantages is the tax administration to be a lot simpler. We would be able to chop down the IRS, and you know, that would be you know, a lot less intrusive in people's lives. We're not going to be, you know, filing tax returns every year, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So that's an advantage. Another advantage, if you tax money that's being spent rather than taxing money that's being earned, well, then that encourages people to earn more money and save money instead of spending money. So I made, you know, $100,000 last year, let's say, you know, and let's say they took out, I don't know, 35%, that's $35,000. So on paper, I made $100,000, but I only really put, you know, $65,000 in my pocket, right? In this, under a new fair tax type system or national VAT, VAT tax, national sales tax, you know, these are all very similar things. And I'm not going to bore everybody, especially since our segment's almost over. I'm not bore everybody with all the details, but what I will say is this: if you switch it over and pay your taxes when you spend money, that would encourage people to save more and spend less. Now, how is that for the economy? You got to think about this. Everything is two sides to the coin, right? And so when you have something like a big change like this, it's going to mean that people will be spending less money, and that could be a slowdown for the economy. right? So everything's got its pros and its cons, but be sure and tune in to the big show, Legal Talk with John Mitchell, and we are certainly going to be on top of it. And if a fair tax or something similar ever passes Congress and gets signed into law by the president, I'm going to be right here to tell you all about it so that you can be up to date, have good actionable information that would change. It would be a vast, drastic change. And so that's I would be here to tell you all about it for sure, right? So in any event, I think that's about it for the fair tax. Of course, you can always write to me, Attorney Mitchell at pm.me. That's my public-facing email address. Let me know that you saw me on the big show here on Now Media, and I love to talk to people, and I love to go through and help people understand stuff. And so, reach out, especially if you got some kind of tax problems. That is my bread and butter. That's what I do day in, day out. I solve IRS problems. I don't know what I'm going to do if they pass a fair tax, man. Maybe nobody will have IRS problems anymore and I'll be, put out to pasture. But that is what it is. But in any event, my website, of course, if you want to check me out on the big interwebs, is www.99-taxhelp.com. 99taxhelp.com. That gets you through to me. Again, my email and my is Attorney Mitchell at pm.me, and my telephone number 1-800-99-TAX-HELP. That's 1-800-998-2943, and that gets you through to me on the phone. But thank you everybody for being with us here on the big show, Legal Talk with John Mitchell, here on the Now Media Network. Don't go away, because we got lots of good information for you coming up in the next few segments. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm so pleased, so happy, overjoyed, in fact, to have everybody in the audience with us here today, looking at the big show. Oh, my goodness. We got some really good information for everybody out there today. And of course, in case you didn't know, my name is John Mitchell, host of the show, tax attorney here in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, also known as H-Town, Hustle Town, Space City, the Bayou City. I don't know what else. What other names do they call Houston? I don't know. But, write me in the comments or send me an email and let me know what other names they call Houston, but only good ones though. Don't tell me any of the bad names. So one of the things that you're going to get from me, of course, because I specialize in taxes, we're going to be talking a lot about taxes, right? And you say, oh my God, John, you put me to sleep. It's so boring. No, we're going to tell some stories and we're going to make it fun. We're going to make it so that everybody can, kind of sit back and enjoy and learn a few things from other people's experiences, so to speak, also, right? So one of the things that I get asked a lot, that this question comes up all the time, John, what would happen, right? What would happen if I just disappear off the radar, right? What would happen if I just stop filing and stop paying my taxes, right? Surely there's a lot of people out there. Surely the IRS might just forget about me, right? Like I might slip through the cracks. Excuse me. And believe you me, I have seen stuff like that happen from time to time. Doesn't happen every time, but let me tell you a story about a guy, and we're not going to, we're not going to name any names here, so we're not breaking any ethical rules, but I'll tell you the story about a guy that came to see me last week. I say came to see me, this is 2026, right? So actually, let me update my idiom a little bit. He didn't come to see. He didn't come in to see me. He connected with me on Zoom and said, John, I got big troubles, man. I got tax troubles. I got the IRS is after me. And, I need your help. I said, okay, well, what's going on? Turns out this gentleman is a high-level executive, and internationally so, and he makes good amount of money, and he has somehow forgotten to file tax returns in several years, right? And so, in fact, when I call the IRS to find out about this later, I think maybe the last tax return that was filed by this gentleman was, let's say, 2015. So I don't think he's filed from 2016 forward, right? So that's a problem, because if you make six figures a year and the IRS knows about it, and the reason why they know about it is because of the reporting requirements. So if you work for a company and the company, sends wage information or independent contractor information to the IRS, well, the IRS knows that you have money, and plus, they get information returns from banks and brokerages and all this good stuff. So, you're really playing with fire. It's like driving down the freeway blindfolded and with no seatbelt, right? I mean, you may do that once, and you may get lucky, and everybody else swerved and got out of the way, and you didn't end up having an accident. But, we don't recommend that you do that over and over and over again, because if you might drive down the freeway blindfolded and not have an accident one day, but you try that a dozen times, and you're probably going to be talking to me from a hospital bed, right? So this guy has not filed a tax return in many years. And so not only that, but he owes money, because what's happened is the IRS has estimated some taxes due from back in 2014, 2015. And so they claim that he owes an amount of money. It's a little over $700,000 that they're claiming that this gentleman owes in taxes, right? For 14 and 15. And again, there hasn't been a return filed in all these intervening years. And so what does the IRS do? They send the guy some letters, right? So the guy got some letters in the mail. Hey, knock, 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 IRS here. Just in case you forgot about us, we need you to file your tax returns, please. Pretty please with sugar on top. And hopefully, that helps and gets people to get a move on, right? Well, in this case, it didn't. And so long story short, they ended up freezing this gentleman's bank account. And so when the guy called me, he calls me and says, John, I got $300,000, $400,000 in the bank frozen because the IRS, sent the bank a letter and froze the money. One day you wake up and you go to Starbucks and you swipe your debit card and, it's declined. And you say, well, why can't I buy a coffee? I've got plenty of money in the bank, right? And turns out, no, you don't, because the IRS has frozen your money, and now we're trying to get behind the eight ball and get things done, right? Because now the IRS, after they've asked you and asked you and asked you to get caught up and do what you're supposed to do, you didn't do it, and so now they've got their clutches on your money, and so now they don't want to unfreeze the money until they start seeing some action on behalf, on the part of my guy, right? So my client, he needs to, pay some estimated tax payments. He needs to file some tax returns, and so we're going to work on all of that. I got a bunch of information together from the IRS, but it's a whole process that's going to work through. And then, of course, as will happen, the guy is calling me on the phone. Oh, well, you know, did you fix my problem yet? Well, sir, you just hired me 2 days ago. This is, you know, this problem has been going on for, you know, 7 or 8 years now, 9 years, whatever it is, right? You haven't filed tax returns, you haven't paid. You know, this problem is not going to get solved in 1 or 2 days. This is going to take a while. But luckily, that's what you have me for. So I always tell people this is the elevator version of what I say, right? They ask me, John, what do you do? I say, I'm a tax attorney. I'm a tax guy. I solve IRS problems. And if you got IRS troubles, then I'm the one that can help you take care of it. But do know that it's not going to be cheap, and it's not going to necessarily be fast, right? It's gonna take some money, and it's gonna take some time. But we're gonna work our way through it, and hopefully get this gentleman on track and get everything caught up the way it's supposed to be. Tax returns filed, money paid, whatever it is, payment plan, offering compromise. I think we'll talk about that next, right? Like, let's say you owe money to the IRS. What are the main ways that you can take care of that? And especially offers and compromise. Everybody wants to make an offer to Uncle Sam and walk away from some of their tax debt. And in some cases, you can do that. And so I'll make sure that that I'm able to, you know, to kind of give you some guidance on that end of it, right? But in any event, like I said, John Mitchell, tax attorney, Houston, Texas. If you want to get a hold of me personally, right, you got IRS troubles, you know, singing those IRS blues. You can write to me on my email, attorneymitchell@pm.me. That's my public-facing my public-facing email address. You can try calling me on the telephone. It's 1-800-99-TAX-HELP, 1-800-99-82943, right? And, that gets you through to me on the telephone. And the other way you can find me is through my website, www.99-taxhelp.com. So those are the ways to get in touch with me. You can either, get in touch with me and let me know that you've been, watching me on the big show here. I always like to hear from the audience members, what you liked, what you didn't like, a lot of times people will say, John, can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? And so I'm happy to get those suggestions from folks, of course, and make sure that we touch on topics that are relevant to people and things that are going to be useful to you in your day to day, right? And finally, I'll leave you with this. If you like the big show, you like what you're seeing here, and you want more of it, you can stay connected to Legal Talk, the big show here, stay connected to Legal Talk and every Now Media TV favorite, streaming worldwide. We're across the whole globe, man, worldwide, in Roku, iOS, Apple TV, Android, and on any podcast platform that you can name, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. And you can, of course, find us on our website. That is www.nowmedia.tv. And scroll through and, pick your poison, right? Whatever you like. You can stay connected with all of the Now Media favorite shows. And I hope that Legal Talk is in the is on that list, right? So that's it for now. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after that with more Legal Talk. Don't go away. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Welcome back, everybody, to Legal Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Are you on the move? Well, you can catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. And we are back here. I hope that everybody had a nice little break. Take some time to yourself. Go get the hot or cold beverage of your choice. And you're back with us, ready for some good information. Now, we talked a few minutes ago in the past segment talking about what happens if you ignore your tax obligations. What happens if you just decide, well, I'm not going to pay, I'm not going to file. I'll just be quiet over here in the corner like a little ratoncito, like a little mouse, right? And we're going to just hope the IRS doesn't notice me. And believe you me, I've actually seen that kind of work, right? Like I've seen people slip through the cracks. So I'm not saying it never happens, because I don't start writing to me now and email you, John, I knew a guy, my cousin's uncle's friend, he didn't file his taxes and they never came after him. Yeah, I understand that can happen, right? But, the stories of that are going to be a lot more frequent years ago than they are now. Now it's going to be a little bit harder for stuff like that to happen. And the reason why, because of data, because of the internet, because of computers. I mean, years ago when they sent men to the moon, computers were big room-sized things with punch cards and stuff. Now, everything is connected, right? And plus the IRS is even starting to use artificial intelligence, right? AI to kind of suss out those folks that should be filing and paying taxes and they're not doing so, right? So it's going to get harder and harder, to slip through the cracks like that. So we talked about that, right? Like what happened? This guy, IRS finally caught on to him. Now we've got to file 6, 7, 8 years worth of tax returns. We got to pay a bunch of money. We got to find a way to, get some kind of payment plan or whatever it's going to be. So the problem didn't go away. It just sat there and got kind of worse and worse as time goes by, right? And so one of the things to remember is not necessarily are you going to slip through the cracks, right? And so how do you move forward, right? Like what's the overarching secret sauce, right? What can John tell you, right? First of all, I'll tell you, if you are not filing your tax return because you don't have money to pay, I've got a better solution for you. You can file the return because the penalties and interest that accrue are 10 times more for not filing your tax return versus not paying your taxes, right? So the IRS really does have a situation where you can say, well, here's my report. I made this much money. I owe this much. You can say, I owe money, IRS, but work with me. I don't have it, right? You can do that, but it's going to be a lot better because the penalties and interest, everything's going to go a lot better for you if you at least file the tax return, sign it, send it in, and let them start sending you bills rather than to just completely try and hide from it, right, is what I can tell you. So the penalties and interest are 10 times more for not filing than they are for not paying, right? So let's say you have done some tax returns, whatever the case may be, you owe some money to the IRS. What is it that you can do about that? Well, a lot of people, and I always say this, right, kind of tongue in cheek, I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but a lot of people say, they come to me, they're like, John, make a deal with the government, right? Well, let me ask you this. If it were that easy to just call up the IRS and make a deal, people think they're at Uncle Sammy's used car lot, right? So they say, well, they think that they're going to just make an offer, pull it out of thin air. I instead of $100,000, I think I'd like to pay $10,000, right? It's 10 cents on the dollar, John. I heard on the radio you can do that, right? So maybe you can work out that deal for me, right? And, but people have kind of the idea that it's easy to just, you know, make a deal with the IRS. But again, let me ask you this question, right? It's a rhetorical question. But let me ask you this. If it were that easy to just call up the IRS and, quote, make a deal and have them wipe out most of the money you owe, why would anybody ever pay their taxes, right? Like, why would anybody ever do it the right way, the honest way? Why would people do that if you can just wait for a few years, run up a big balance? What if your electric bill were like that, right? I'm gonna let the light company sit there for 6 months. I'm never gonna send any money in, and then finally I'll log in and say, "Oh my God, I owe the electric company. They haven't cut me off yet, right?" And so I'm gonna call up the electric company and say, "Hey, you know that $2,000 I owe you? I got $300. How about it? Will you take it? Take it or leave it, man. It's my final offer." Is my best offer. I got a good deal for you, right? I'm not going to pay the $2,000. I'm going to pay $300, right? If life were that easy, right? Imagine if I could just go into my favorite restaurant every day and order a big steak dinner, right? And at the end of the month, come in and say, "Well, you know, I know I haven't paid for dinner all month long. What's my tab? How much do I owe?" "Oh, John, you know, you owe $3,000. "Yeah, well, I have $500 for you. How about that? You know, take it or leave it. It's my good offer for you," right? If it were that easy to just not pay your taxes and just make a deal, well, everybody would do it, right? And so there are a percentage of people that can qualify. I'm not saying offers don't exist. You can make an offer to the IRS, but you have to qualify for it. There's basically, I'll just run it down for you real quick. There's three kinds of offers, right? I got three arguments. The number one argument is doubt as to liability. Hey, IRS, wait a minute. I don't actually owe this money that you say I owe. Actually, it's a lot less. You got your numbers wrong. So I don't really owe what you say I owe. That's argument number one, right? And of course, taxpayer bill of rights. You have a right as a taxpayer to pay only the correct amount of taxes and not a penny more, right? The law doesn't say that, but that's my phrase that I tagged on the end, right? So you have a right to pay only the correct amount of taxes. Number two, you got the argument, "Well, yes, IRS, I owe you $100,000, but guess what? I'm really broke. Here's all my financial information. I can't afford to pay," right? So that's what we would call doubt as to collectability. So the first one was, I don't really owe the money. That's doubt as to liability. Then we got doubt as to collectability. Yes, I owe the money, but I can't afford to pay it. And that is where you dig in and you start giving the IRS a bunch of financial documents. We give them our lease, we give them our paycheck stubs, we give them our bills, et cetera, et cetera. And we justify, "Look, if I pay my taxes, my kids aren't going to eat, right? So I can't afford to pay, so cut me a deal," right? So that's number two. And number three is one that's barely ever, almost never even used. I like to say, like, the situation of like a veteran that the only thing he has is his house, and if he pays his taxes, you know, he has to sell the house and live on the street corner, right? So they're not asking you to live on the street corner. So you have money in your equity in your home, but if you sell your home to get the equity out, now you're not, now you don't have a place to live, right? So the third argument is, and I'll sum it up like this, yes, I owe the money, and yes, there's a possibility that maybe maybe I could pay, but there's really good reason why the IRS should not come after me for this debt, right? And basically, think about it. I had a lawyer that I know, he said that think about it like the argument of this would really make the IRS look bad if it ends up on the evening news, right? And so there are offers that can be made, and it's all just going to depend. If you're going out of doubt as to liability argument, I don't really owe the money, then you can make them an offer that reflects how much you really think you owe. Hey, IRS, I don't owe $100,000. Here's all the documents to prove it. I owe, $1,500. Right? You can do that. That's what I really owe. That's what I'm offering you, right? The other one is doubt as to collectability. I can't afford to pay. So that's when you do all the numbers, crunch everything, make some big old complicated spreadsheets and show the IRS, hey, I can't afford to pay $100,000. I can afford to pay $2,311.48. Right? That's what the number came out to be. That's what I'm offering you, right? So that's one way to go about it. So that you can go about it either way. But those offers are not just an automatic thing, and you don't get to just make it up. And you also don't get to say, I tell you what, I'll pay you the tax and don't charge me the penalties and interest. Well, some of the penalties you can get out of that's penalty abatement. Not enough time to go into that right now, but you can definitely do penalty abatements. But offer and compromise, they do exist, but you just got to be careful and make sure that you fit within the guidelines. There's rules, there's regulation, and there's guidelines to it. So just to wrap it up again, my name is John Mitchell, host of the Big Legal Talk Show. And we are on Now Media TV, and appreciate everybody being with you. We will be right back. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back right after that.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Well, hello there, everybody. John Mitchell here, host of The Big Show. Man, oh man, I really hope you've enjoyed the show today. We try to bring you some really good information about taxes, mostly. And of course, I know you're on your edge of the seats. Last segment of the show, we already talked about what happens if you don't file and don't pay your taxes. And now the last segment, we talked a little bit about offers and compromise. So that's pennies on the dollar, like you hear about on the radio, but it's not quite that easy. But there do exist offers, and we talked about that. Now let me talk about a couple of little other things that you can do, because the big overall question here, what do I do, John? What do I do if I find out that I owe money to the IRS and I can't afford to pay them right now, right? Of course, IRS, they hope, they wish that you could just sit down, write them a big check and send it in and say, okay, here's that money I owe you, go away, have a nice life, right? Life doesn't work like that all the time, so we can't necessarily count on that, right? So what do you do if you find yourself owing money and you can't necessarily pay it, all at once or whatever? The first thing that you can do is called CNC. I'll just touch on this real quickly. Currently not collectible. Usually currently not collectible are people that are, let's say, hospitalized, right? You're in the hospital, you had a major car crash or whatever, and now you're going to be the next 2 or 3 months, you're going to be in the hospital, right? Or maybe more. God help us, hope not, but maybe more than that, right? You're in the hospital, not working. And you can't afford to pay taxes. You can't afford to pay taxes because you're not working, etc. Right? You can ask the IRS to place your tax account in what is called CNC, currently not collectible status. All that means is, hey, I owe money. I can't afford to pay today. I'm not sure when my situation might improve, but I expect that my situation is going to improve. right? I expect things to get better. And so that's what we're going to hope for. Fingers crossed. But meanwhile, in the IRS, I really appreciate you not taking enforcement action against me. I appreciate you not garnishing my wages. I appreciate you not coming to, you know, to pick up my property, my house, whatever it may be. I appreciate you not freezing my bank account because I'm not paying, not because I don't want to. I'm not paying because I can't afford it. My situation might improve. So usually what the IRS will do when I've been able to get people into CNC, currently not collectible status, what the IRS will normally do is they'll put it in that status for, let's say, a set period of time, like a year. Could be 12 months, could be 24 months. And what they'll do is they'll set basically a calendar alert, right? And they'll check back with you whenever that time is up, right? So let's say they've determined you're not collectible, and you're not collectible for, let's say, 24 months. So, you know, knock on wood, hopefully we get you the big 24 months, right? At the end of 24 months, some point thereafter, they're going to come back and say, they're going to send you a letter, and they're going to say, okay, how's your current situation looking? How you doing? Are you now in a little bit better situation? Are you now able to pay? And man, I mean, I've seen this so many times. You know, the person's down and out, and then a year goes by, 2 years goes by. Now they've got themselves a new job, new house, new future, you know, everything new and improved, and that CNC status has really worked out well for them, you know. So that's one thing usually, but due to circumstances beyond your control, you're unable to pay. One example, like I said, was being in the hospital. Another is being in jail, funny enough. So let's say you owe a bunch of money to the IRS, but you're in prison, right? Well, they're going to leave you in not collectible status. And the reason why they do that is not to be good folks, right? Like, they're not trying to be nice to you. What it is the IRS has a certain number of people working there. They have certain amounts of resources that they can spend, right? And they want to spend that time and effort and resources going after people that are actually going to be able to pay. Right? So they're not going to chase after you if they see that you're completely unable to pay. That's basically the gist of it. It's to conserve resources and not have people, you know, expending a bunch of money, running after a bunch of people that are just not going to be able to pay. Now, you hold a gun to their head, they're not going to be able to pay, right? And so IRS doesn't want to waste a lot of time, effort, resources on those folks, and that's basically what it is. So you got your CNC status, but here's the big one, right? Here's what I'm going to tell everybody, and I'll be closing out the program with this today, right? You owe money to the IRS. You're unable to pay them all up front, all at once. 8 out of 10 cases, and I don't say this, the IRS says this because they publish these statistics every year. There's an IRS statistics book, and it's free to the public. If you're really interested, you can Google that, and you can find the IRS statistics and, you know, delve into it. You might find some interesting stuff in there, right? But 8 out of 10 cases where people have trouble paying their tax debt, 8 out of 10 cases are resolved with an installment agreement. That's where they let you pay the taxes out in comfortable or semi-comfortable monthly installments, right? So there's a couple of different kinds of installment agreements. I'm not going to, you know, bore everybody to get, you know, with all the details, right? But basically, the way this usually works is we fill out some financial information. So we tell the IRS, here's how much I make every month. Here's how much I spend on rent, utilities, etc. Here's my income, here's my expenses, and how much free cash do I have left that I can afford to pay taxes with? And a lot of times, they'll allow you to go ahead and pay that amount, whatever it may be, right? And so that's the way installment agreements usually work. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to sign an installment agreement with the government because what if my situation changes? Well, I got good news for you. If you today can afford to pay $500 a month and then something happens and that amount goes down and you lost your second job or, you know, Uber deactivated your driver platform, whatever the case may be, and now you're only able to pay $300 instead of $500, well, you can go back to the IRS and provide all that information and go through the process and renegotiate, and you can have those payments reset. Now, the good thing about an installment agreement or a monthly payment plan like this is that, you know, tax debts eventually expire, right? The general rule is 10 years. So let's say we're right now in 2026 as I record this. If I had a 2015 tax return that I filed in 2016, well, you know, I just came up on this 10 years, deadline. And so they've got 10 years to collect what they're going to collect from you, right? There are extenders and stuff. There's exceptions and stuff. Yes. But just for general purposes, let's talk about the 10-year statute. Right? So if you're up against that 10-year statute, and let's say you owed the IRS $100,000 and you've only managed to pay them $10,000, well, guess what? That $90,000 is going to get written off. And so there does exist an installment agreement type, a kind of installment agreement that they call a partial pay installment agreement. And that's where the amount of money that you paid every month is not going to finish paying off the debt before it expires. And the IRS, believe you me, they enter into deals like that every day, right? Now you got to make sure that there's guidelines. Got to make sure that you qualify. You got to make sure that your situation fits within the scope. But if it does, one way you can do, instead of trying to get a formal offer and compromise put through, is to get a partial pay installment agreement. So that's another, that's another way to, another way to maybe take care of that problem. But 8 out of 10 tax debts that are unable to be paid immediately do end up getting solved through monthly payment plans, right? That's a lot more common than just telling them, hey, I owe X amount, I got X amount, take $10,000 instead of $100,000, whatever it may be. That it's a lot more common to get the monthly payment plan. So again, I hope that has been useful information. If you have tax troubles that you want to talk to me about, you can send me an email, attorneymitchell@pm.me, or you can call my office, 1-800-99-TAX-HELP, or go to my website, www.99-TAXHELP.com, 99-TAXHELP.com. Again, my name is John Mitchell, tax attorney extraordinaire here from the beautiful city of Houston, Texas. Hope everybody has enjoyed the big show. Come back and be with us next time. And until then, keep your head held high and don't let anybody steal your joy. Keep that big smile on your face. Keep positive, and we'll be back with you with the next program next time.